Hey, dude, guess what tonight? Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio, the only podcast devoted to little kings, because it's good to be the king when you drink beers. I'm Jason Frisbee, without Parker this week, because we're grown-ups and have shit to do, so deal with it. But we're joined by an old friend guest of the show, John Holmes. How are you, John?
I'm feeling a little old right now, actually. I don't know.
You're an old man.
Yeah, I don't know why you got to keep bringing up old.
So old. We're all older now. This is.
Oh, no.
We're almost close to 200 episodes. Can you believe that?
Wow. I remember when this first started, and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a week.
Yeah, I think we actually had that recording.
Yeah, pretty sure you do.
We were about a month in at that point, but you still said you reinforced, I give it a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to figure out time travel soon and go back and stop and delete all the old ones before they could be recorded.
Yeah. How much longer do you think we have?
Oh, I say top it off at the 200th episode.
Okay.
Go out on top like Seinfeld.
Yeah, the 200. Yep. That sounds good. I'll keep that in mind. It was a different time then. It was the early half of the 2010s.
Yeah.
You know, we were all pretty young and naive then, I feel.
Yeah, I was, let's see, early 2010s, I was still in Chicago.
Yep. And you're back in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, I'm now in Cincinnati.
How's it going there?
It's going real well.
And you're...
Beautiful today?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been like a weird, huh?
It's a nice MLK Junior Day.
It is. Did you celebrate?
Of course. I'm drinking right now.
That's basically what every holiday's turned into, I feel. Like
that's what every evening turns into when you're me.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say like when you're in your late 20s, but probably more defined to you, like every holiday is a drinking holiday.
Yeah, Valentine's Day, get liquored up.
Yep. Arbor Day, let's get wasted.
Flag Day, buddy. Flag Days are just around the corner.
Oh, huge whiskey day, Flag Day. Yep. In Cincinnati, it's been going through a couple of changes. We've been talking about Cincy a couple times on the show recently because Parker and I get homesick a great deal for a Skyline Chili.
Ah.
Is that a Cincinnati treat to eat for you, or are you kind of like, well, whatever, it's everywhere, I don't really give a shit?
No, it's actually something I still don't get to eat that much.
Yeah.
Because my girlfriend doesn't like chili, or doesn't like the way it tastes. She doesn't like Skyline. She just doesn't like meat.
Yeah, which is what the meat is in that. Like, usually you find, like, ground beef and chili. People make that kind of stuff. But this is, like, chipped up meat, you know?
Yeah, so she never goes there. And I can't just eat there by myself. Because that's just sad. I've realized that a lot recently. Like, I can't even... Like, if I go to the Waffle House with my girlfriend, everyone's like, oh, they're a cute little couple. They're struggling, managing. Can only afford Waffle House, that's fine. I go there by myself, it's just sad, dude. You're like, fucking, he can eat someplace better.
Okay. I'm feeling real self-conscious about all the times I've eaten at Waffle House and Skyline by myself then.
Yeah, buddy. You should feel really awkward right now.
I do. This must be how it felt for you when I was calling you old all those times. But yeah, it's a very nostalgic thing for us. I tend to eat it every time I'm visiting Ohio. And Mike sells potato chips. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
Out of Dayton. They have a Cincinnati chili flavored potato chip now. And it's on point. It tastes like nutmeg, cinnamon, chocolate, all that stuff.
Hey, don't fucking give out the recipe, dude. Like, there are still legal issues with me. I can't be involved in one.
Well, yeah, not to stir the pot. I'm just saying, like, you don't have to be a regular Guy Fieri to know what's in that recipe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because it is a dive.
Yeah, yeah. It's a diner or a dive. I don't think they have any drive-ins.
They have a drive-through.
Yeah. What else has been going on in Cincinnati? Any news to tell from the land of the Reds and all that stuff?
Not really. Let me think. Oh, I saw the news today. Someone got, was run over. That's about it.
Okay. In Cincinnati?
Yeah.
All right. How are those Bengals doing?
Hit and run. Oh, yeah. You're going to rehash that?
I have no idea. I don't watch football. So I just thought that'd be a polite thing to ask.
Here's my take on it. Everyone says, because the Bengals have been up to the playoffs, have gone to the playoff game 3 years in a row or 4 years in a row or something like that, and they've lost every time. Everyone keeps saying it's the management, it's the mismanagement, it's Carson. It's Andy Dalton. I legitimately think it's the last game we play is the Pittsburgh Steelers of the regular season.
Okay. And that's like the main rivalry, right?
That's a huge rivalry. So when we go after it as hard as we do in that game, it's not going to end well. So because this year we had like so many people injured from that game, from the previous game, that we couldn't put up a defining chance.
Okay.
So we lost the playoffs again this year, first game.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's a lot of hope. There was a lot of hope.
Yeah. Andy Dalton, huh? That's the person that we need to point fingers at?
Yeah. That's what people say. I think it's just the shitty situation of battling Pittsburgh before the playoff game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that draws a lot of the heat and focus away from playoffs when you're like, all right, you're going to fight your hugest rivalry, so all your fans are going to be really into that and pissed. And then immediately after that, we have to focus on playoffs and this.
Well, we just go so hard. We just go so hard in those games.
Okay.
That we end up like just killing ourselves, shooting ourselves in the foot for the next one.
I think I see. I'm in Arkansas, so there's no NFL team. It's basically the Arkansas State University or Arkansas University Hogs. See, I don't even know which one it is. I'm real bad at sports, man. Come on, cut me some slack. I'm just trying to get through with these sports teams and these foosballs.
Man.
Do you know much about college football? Like,
Ohio State just won the.
Yeah.
Ohio State just won the national championship, buddy. First one ever.
Oh, that's
first,
nice.
They moved it into like they beat Oregon. They beat Alabama, which was ranked number one in the country.
Yeah.
And they beat Oregon, which everyone thought they would lose. They thought they would lose both of them. Third string quarterbacks started both games.
Really? That's pretty impressive. I was actually in town over, I think it was the Michigan game that they were hosting. Yeah. And it was really quiet. Like, talk about rivalries. This was a pretty, it wasn't like a ghost town, but people were not rioting for once. And thought that was okay. Did riots eventually happen? Because I don't remember much of that weekend.
Oh, of course. Of course there's going to be riots. I didn't understand all these people on Facebook who were like, way to keep it classy, Ohio State. It's like, dude, did you not think they would riot? Like,
yeah, okay. I had checked out on that one. Did not even realize they followed up with the with an old time we won riot, because
yeah,
that's here's the best reason to riot, right?
Well, here's what I believe.
What?
I think we should do it the way the people over in Europe do it. They riot when their team loses.
Yeah, sure.
Make them scared to come back. Make that team scared. Like, you know what you did, and we burned down your house because of it.
Okay. Or we could all behave like adults and understand what good sportsmanship conduct is like, and not try to break storefronts or burn shit at all, regardless of it, because it's just fucking game.
So it's going to happen. Okay. Fire's going to happen eventually.
That's another motto to live by, I think. Fire's going to happen eventually. But how's things going in Cincinnati otherwise? Like, you're doing a stand-up there, making rounds, opening up some big names? Well,
I've opened up for Troy Baxley, Robert Hawkins, Vic Henley, a couple other people. I recently have been trying to get into the Dayton comedy scene again, because they have two clubs, and the Wiley's Club. You remember Wiley's?
Yeah, it's a neat venue. It's very old school.
Yeah, it's definitely. It's been remodeled and under new management. And they're getting good. They're getting really good headliners.
I remember Chappelle used to like show up on a whim just to talk. I don't know if he had material. He was just up there because he can. Like, it's always good whatever he does, is what I'm trying to say. Like, he can go off the dome. But I didn't know Wiley's was remodeled. So that's interesting.
I mean, it's just they painted over the mural, which I thought was the best part, but
yeah, the mural itself was kind of a joke, right? Like, it was kind of Dayton, but you could tell that whoever did it kind of gave up on adding detail like halfway through.
Yeah. But it's under new management, and I really like them, and so I've been trying to get some work up there. And this business is a lot about being seen and a lot of networking with other people. So I've been doing that, doing some guest sets up there, some open mics up there. Just let them know that I'm around. If they need whatever they need, I could possibly fill it. Help them out.
Does it get to a point where you say stuff like, "Hey, when's your open mic? Because I really want to do some hosting," or is it more of like, "Hey, whatever you got, I'm available," and you just give them a card or something, or
no,
5 minutes.
No. I mean, here's what a lot of comics don't want to know or don't want to do, is that they want to go up to places like from out of town and like immediately get on. A better thing is just to go and get me seen one time. Let the person who's running that room, that mic, that bar, or the whatever it is, the open mic, let them know that you're interested in this. In the scene, in their scene.
Okay.
So you do that once, and then you come back, and they'll usually have you on. And because that shows that you put it in FaceTime. You know what I'm saying? Not the Apple thing, the actual face-to-face hanging out with people and showing that you care about, that you're just a fan in general first. And then, so I did that for a while, and then I did the open mic, the Sunday open mic at Wiley's, which the new owner saw. He watched me, and then he really liked me. And then I went back up about a week ago because I knew the opener and feature act for the weekend show. And I got a guest set there, and he's watching again, and so. When I left, he said, "Anytime I want to come up to an open mic, he'll put me on." So that's encouraging. It's slow go in this business, but it'll come.
I think a lot of Yeah, definitely getting in time with club owners and whatnot. I didn't know they were under new management. Do they still play Minnie the Moocher before every show now?
God, no. Luckily.
Oh, that's great. I mean, it's kind of like it's another one of those funny parts because it just never changed, but I'm pretty happy that it's changed. Do they mix it up now, or do they have like another Cab Calloway song that they play every fucking time?
Yeah, only Cab Calloway, guys.
Yeah.
That is my new rule, my one rule. I don't give a shit about anything else, but...
This one's for all the World War II veterans in the audience.
Where's the Andrew sisters?
Yeah. But I can imagine, like, some of the club turnovers like that are pretty helpful. I mean, it's great that there's, like, venues for every type of audience and every type of comedian, but, I mean, like anything else, it's going to go through changes. And that FaceTime you mentioned, just putting in time there, it almost reminds me of, like, the adage of putting ass in seat, like, at a 9-to-5 gig. Like, as long as you're there between those hours and you are interested or at least appear interested, then you're okay. I mean, it's better if you are interested in it, like, not just...
Yeah.
Showing up and feeling dead inside or some shit. But in this case, like you show up and you talk to people and trade ideas and all that stuff.
Yeah, just mostly network.
Right.
Just, and then show what you can do. If he likes it, it's good. If not, try again a little bit later. Get right better.
On. Yeah, yeah. What else has been, have you noticed changing with it then? Are you always coming up with new material, or do you try to like hone 5 minutes and pile that on to another 5 minutes and then do that sort of thing?
I've done that in the past. I mean, I would say I probably have a good, at least 15 minutes of good material.
Yeah.
Probably more than that. But unfortunately, I still do a lot of open mics around town. And so you'll usually only get about 5 minutes there if you're lucky. And so it's a little aggravating at first because you think you have to keep coming up with new jokes for those 5 minutes, but you don't. You just have to get those jokes good for 5 minutes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, recognizing the best times to pause, the best way to deliver the punchlines, or deliver any part of it, really.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing more of an anecdotal or a story-based form of stand-up, you're going to try to punctuate certain points of it more than others and get as many punches as you can.
Yeah.
That's what I remembered from it, at least. And I know there's a lot of stuff changing with it. The last comedian that I saw was Hannibal Buress, and that was in Dallas. And he had some different approaches to it. Almost no transitions, that sort of thing. Yeah. Meta comedy where he recognized, like, there's no transition between those things.
Yeah.
He also had this extended bit where he was talking about, like, some musician that he saw recently, I think it was like a hip hop artist. I don't know if it was who it was really in retrospect, but it was somebody who just went over. He went on stage with his most recent album playing and would just call out a few lines of it, like just start rapping and then pull back and just listen to the beat some more and his album some more. And he did that. Hannibal Buress did that with one of his comedy albums, like his most recent comedy album. So he would just do the punchline. He's like, eyeglasses, and these eyeglasses, boom. And it was really fucking funny, and I hadn't seen anybody do that bit before.
Yeah, man.
But it seemed more like a structured bit, almost like sketch comedy instead of a stand-up. Do you see people doing that as much, or are people still working on traditional bits?
there were always some like alternative comics and stuff in every scene.
Do you try anything like that?
I have a couple weird things. They're not, I don't think I could pull off doing the wrapping over, saying my own punchlines, but yeah, I have a couple weird ones. Like I read a speech where I'm supposed to die afterwards.
Uh huh.
Like it's called my death speech.
Yeah.
And do yeah, you, that's the.
Do you fake dying or do you just
I die?
Okay.
On stage. Like it's an act out.
And,
so that one's yes. But
sorry, go ahead. What are you saying?
No, I mean, what I've noticed, because I went to New York recently over in October, actually.
Okay.
To try some stand-up and stuff. Just had a couple open mics around town. I know a couple people up there.
Right on. How'd that go?
It went very well. I got to do about 5 mics in 3 nights.
That's awesome. It's a lot of open mics. It's totally different from like being in Ohio where it's basically once a week.
No, I can get up about like 3. If you really hustle, you can probably get about 4 nights, 4 mics a week sometimes.
Okay, cool.
But this was just in 3 nights, 5 mics. And what I've just noticed over there, because I recognize some of the people that I saw around who visited the same mics all the time. What I noticed was that there's like in every scene, in every comedy scene, in any town, you're going to find the same spectrum. You're going to find the people who are new, but are like promising. You're going to have the people who are trying to be alt funny. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Comics. You're going to find bad comics. You're going to find bad comics. People who think they're funny and just aren't. Or haven't realized how to tell a joke yet. You're going to find the really good ones. The only difference is that in the scenes is that there's just more people in different places or less people in different places.
Okay. So you still have the spectrum and it might be across like the same 6 folks in a smaller town, but in a place like New York, it's broader. So you're going to have like, you'll find people that kind of fit between those parts of the spectrum that the smaller town didn't quite have filled yet.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I would count 6 people a scene. I'm talking about like maybe like Toledo scene, which that's, is
how small. Many are in there?
I wouldn't want to venture guess, but I bet around like maybe probably between 75 and 100, maybe.
Really? Toledo?
Yeah. They have 2 clubs up there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they get a lot of opportunities to just drive up to Detroit and do some comedy there.
Oh, that makes sense. In like Chicago and shit?
Yeah, Grand Rapids.
Okay. Grand Rapids, another scene I would not have expected.
Yeah.
Delicious beer in Grand Rapids. And great chili mac in Toledo. But I didn't know there was comedy.
Yeah, buddy. There's comedy everywhere. So, you find the same people, but where in one city might be like 25 people, then in New York it's going to be thousands. But it's the same spectrum.
Listen, did you do any podcasts while you were in New York?
I did not, buddy. This is the only one I do.
All right. That makes me feel more special then. Because I've been in New York for a while. You mentioned you got a lot of the comedy friends up there. You remember War Day. She used to be on the show.
Yeah.
She's up there still. And a lot of other people that I haven't, shamefully, have not talked to for a while are up there living it up. And... that's really cool you got to go. I'm super jealous of you. So keep that in mind.
It was so impromptu. My comedy friend was just like, hey, I got to drive up to New York to say goodbye to some people because I'm moving like next week. Do you want to come? And I was like, sure, man.
Nice.
So I just jumped in the car and took off. And like then we traded off driving and stuff. because it's like a 14-hour drive.
So he was moving away from New York, or he's going to Los Angeles?
He had family in New York. It's confusing as hell.
Ah, never mind then.
He had family in New York that he was going to say goodbye to because he was moving out to Seattle.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I would imagine that L.A. is pretty saturated. I was in L.A. around Halloween.
Yeah.
To meet up with some other podcat fellows. And went to Festival Supreme. It's that Jack Black and Kyle Gass comedy festival.
Oh, wow.
It was all right. It was interesting, though. The people that I saw do stand-up, they had the stand-up in a theater. Like, it was in the old part of L.A., the Sahara. So they had, like, the parking lot kind of set up for music acts, some comedic and some not as comedic, or at least kind of fringe. And two stages set up for that, a bunch of like food trucks and shit. And then the theater stage within was, it almost looked like something out of like old Las Vegas, like the old strip. It was called the Sahara, as I mentioned. And pretty nice theater, but you could go in and out as you pleased, which was kind of weird. So like, in the middle of an Eric Andre bit, when you realize that he's kind of workshopping stuff and then he just wants to plug the show, people are like getting up and leaving and trying to catch the next act because it's a festival and it's all rotating. Yeah. It reminded me of like the Fun Fest. They had a comedy stage and it'd be packed for Patton Oswalt. And then towards the end of his bit, they're like, okay, I want to catch King Diamond or whatever at the black stage, so we got to split now. It seems kind of rude, kind of shitty, but I guess they've seen worse too. Yeah, it's probably expected. But that's cool. They got an impromptu trip like that and got to do a hell of a lot of stand-up. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, man.
Does that seem like a viable option, or do you want to like kind of homebrew it in the Midwest like Kyle Kinane's doing?
I mean, Kinane lives in L.A. now.
Yeah, but he still stops by, like, the Midwest all the time.
But honestly, I've been doing it for around, like, 4 years now. About 4 years. About a month would be 4 years. And that's what I call, like, what I call it taking it seriously. I've been doing it 4 years. That's where, like, for every week, I've been getting on stage for probably more than two times. Probably, for the majority, it's like three or four times a week.
Do you still get anxious or nervous, or was it ever an issue for you?
It was never. I mean, of course, it changes. It was never too much of an issue. I would always get, you always are a little nervous before different things. Mostly now I'm not nervous, but I did a guest set at Go Bananas for Ryan Stout and this guy named, because I know the feature act real well, a guy named Tom Brady. And no, not that Tom Brady.
No, I know the one you're talking about.
No, you're not.
Okay. I don't know the Tom Brady that you're talking about.
I don't think you do.
He's a comedian?
He's a comedian.
Okay.
He lives in Chicago now. Anyway, I did a guest set and I was real nervous because Ryan Stout, he was friends with Ryan. And so he brought Ryan out to watch my guest set because he asked if I would do one. And I was real nervous before that because you want to impress people. You want to show them that you're the best that you can be.
Okay.
And so, but once you get on stage, you kind of lose it. And you just try and go with the jokes. Go with what you know works.
It's such a short time frame anyway. And depending on the venue, like if it's done in an assist sort of way where the crowd is sort of blacked out and you have a spotlight in your face.
Yeah.
Then that's kind of an advantage for the person up there on stage. It's less distracting, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, I never got nervous in front of the audience, but I was nervous in front of the headliner.
Okay.
For him to see my set. because she likes it. You never know what's going to happen. He might remember me. You know, it's very different.
What do you think is next then? Like, what's the next step? Would you, I mean, if you're not going to be moving to New York or LA or either coast, what do you want to do next?
I think I really wouldn't mind moving to, I want to see how things work out here for another couple years, maybe one or two. But I wouldn't mind going out to Denver, honestly. They've got a real strong scene, and I hear it's just bustling now.
The comedy or just in general?
In general. I think Denver would be a cool city to live in. I know some people out there who could help me out. Always looking to get more stuff. What a lot of comics are doing right now from Cincinnati is moving to Chicago. But I tried that once. It didn't work out too well.
Right on. And does Denver still have like that huge comedy festival, or was that someplace else in Colorado?
That was in Aspen, but that was really just – that was the Aspen Comedy Festival, but it was put on by HBO. So it was really just like for all the rich – old white people.
Oh, right on. Right on.
To laugh at things that they really don't understand.
Gotcha. Yeah, I remember that was a thing for a while, for like the 90s, and hadn't heard of it for like 15 years. So
that's
that, I guess. Well, cool. It was great catching up. I didn't get to talk to you over the holidays or anything, so this has been awesome for me. And we should have Parker back next week, and don't know if we have anything planned for the 200, but we'll probably do something ridiculous and goofy for it. But thank you again, John Holmes, for being on here. For people looking to find you online, where can they find you?
On Twitter, I'm at John Holmes Lies, because that's really all I do. And
Holmes is H-O-L-M-E-S.
Yes, J-O-N-H-O-L-M-E-S, Lies.
And no underscores?
Nope.
All right.
And on Facebook at just J-O-N Holmes.
Sweet. Pool Party Radio can be found at poolpartyradio.com for all our old episodes. We can also take comments there, which we sometimes get. And at facebook.com/poolpartyradio, you can go and like us there. iTunes for subscriptions and comments. I've had comments for a while, so if you have any comments, whether legit or hilarious, we like them both and we'll read them all. And at Twitter, you can find us on our at Pool Party Radio account, as well as at Final Parker and at Cumulus Frisbee. I think we're also on Stitcher too, so try find us there and rate and review as well. And emails also are accepted and very welcome at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. And John's being distracting with a giant flashlight as a nipple, which is erotic. And I think that's about it. Emails, reviews, all that stuff. We love hearing from you. And I think to send us off here instead of a song or anything, John may have a few minutes of his stand-up recorded. Is that right?
Yeah. This one's from a show called Sabbatical in Indianapolis. I did about a month ago.
So the club is Sabbatical?
It's a bar show, but there's going to be a little background noise, but it's a pretty good representation of my sets.
Okay, cool. So bar show Sabbatical is what we're going to be listening to. All right, so for John Holmes, international man of comedy, and Parker, who is not here, I'm Jason Frisbee saying thanks for having fun. We love you.
Big round of applause for John Holmes. Give it up for Stan, everybody, and Billy, everyone you've seen so far tonight. My name is John Holmes. I'm sorry if you were expecting the 70s porn star of the same name. But I clearly shouldn't be in porn, right? Like, no one wants to find this on their computer. Another reason I'm not the porn star is that I'm only 28. I know I look like I'm 39. That's because I drink like I'm 16. Anyone else? Anyone else out there an underage drunk still? I'm 28. I've never been called sir without a hint of irony. Is that anyone? No? Just me, all right. It's never been, I'll explain, it's never been like, oh, I'll get that right away for you, sir. It's always been like, sir, 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 we're gonna have to ask you to stop drinking. You're our best customer, but that's also our biggest problem. I have acne. I don't know if you can tell under these flattering lights. Not only do I have acne, but I have backne, crackne, and sackne. So just call it a hat trick in life. And I've been a dermatologist, and I'm not sure if all dermatologists are dumb or just the one Obama pays for are dumb. But I'll go to them and they'll be like, well, let me ask you something. Have you ever gone to bed and woken up with a pimple? And I'll be like, yes, what causes that? Like, I don't know, man. Pepperoni, maybe? I don't know. Glad I paid $50 for this. Thank you. All right, let me just go on a leaf here. Does anyone else here think that porn can be a little demeaning towards women? No, none of you. You all like when they spit. All right. That's fine. Different strokes, quite literally, guys. I mean, I'm not trying to sound high and mighty up here. I never noticed it until after I finish, let's say. All the while, I'm just like, how? She has a family. That's someone's daughter playing with vegetables, for Christ's sake, you know? Yeah, I'm into weird shit. Who'd have thunk it? Are you kidding me? Not only do I look like this, I live like this. And I'm not trying to sound high and mighty up here, because, like... But even the clips of the titles of the porn can be demeaning towards women. It's like... This dumb bitch changes in a locker room. Why is she a dumb bitch? But that's where you're gonna change. It should be called some pervy asshole put a hidden camera in a locker room. That's what it should be called. This stupid slut didn't think her sex tape would get leaked. Yeah, it's called trust and love. Try it sometime, internet. I just got carded here, and it's fine. I don't mind this, because I've got a card for cigarettes, and it usually takes like 2 seconds. You know, you just give them out, they go, okay, and they see it, you give it back, it's fine. I don't mind getting carded, but the other day I was buying a pack of smokes at like midnight, and the guy behind the counter took my ID, sort of like bending it, like to see if it was fake, and he was like, and I was checking it with the light, and then he goes, so your February birthday, that makes you, I'm like, fucking pissed off customer. What the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, I'm looking for your sign. I'm like, oh, my sign? Well, it's not 1973, despite what my jacket might have you to believe. Why does that fucking matter? He's like, all right, well, you were born in 1980. I'm like, oh my God, just give me some smokes. I smoke Mavericks, okay? If you don't know what that is, Mavericks are like a step up above pyramids and a step below everything else. Like, no one starts off smoking Mavericks. You end up smoking Mavericks. And I'll tell you this last one and then get out of here. People ask me questions a lot, like, who the fuck are you? And what is that smell? And do you know why I pulled you over tonight, sir? The answer to all three is always the same. Just vomit. Vomit all the fucking day. That's it. All right, guys, let's find it. Thank you so much.
John Holmes, everybody. All right, next up, we got a local...